Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, it has been popping in Waxahachie this morning. We actually had to go into the tub of extra giveaway items because we gave away so many things already. So y'all continue to come on down. Alec, Corey has started to eat, so there's a lot of pressure going to be on you for NFL overreaction or reality.
Dude, this is the chicken potato burrito?
Oh, ooh. My gosh, this is awesome.
Okay.
It's got tater tots in it. You know I love tots. It's the best french fry.
I know that you do. So 1080 West Highway 287 in Waxahachie if you want to come on by. In the meantime, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. NFL overreaction or reality to start.
Excuse Were you me. Waiting for music?
No, I had to burp. Oh. And so I was hoping no one would call attention to that.
I was sitting there going, all right, now the gridiron gravy.
That was me. I was like, I need about 2 seconds. Let's see if it works out for me. And it did not. NFL overreaction or reality. And we usually like to start with the Cowboys here. Even with the trades, the rest of the Cowboys season is going to be dreadfully boring.
I don't think so. If they would have not done anything,
then you think it would have.
Then I think it would be boring. But Okay. Like I told you the other day, for Jerry Jones, this is selling points. I'm not sure what he can sell on Logan Wilson, but I think you're going to see better play at the linebacker position. I just think that, and that's not saying a lot, but I think you're going to have better play there. At the defensive, like, you have a young player, you can say 28 years old, that you can say is going to continue for the next couple of years being a good player. He's been an all-pro before. Is he an all-pro right now? No.
Yeah.
But that's maybe he being here could change that just a little bit. I'm not sure. But I think he's a better player than you have for the majority of part in that area right now.
You know what? I'm really glad, and I wish I would have brought this up earlier, like specifically around 10:30, when you talked about Jerry, that interview didn't officially go off the table until last night. There was a discussion that we had and kind of came to the point where, you know, it was probably for the best definitely for the best for the Cowboys for him to not do that interview. And so he's been, you know, Zooming and talking.
Yeah, we've been told that he's been doing a lot to see what they can do.
Since yesterday morning, talking with Marshawn Nealon's family and everything like that. Sorry I didn't mention that earlier. I mean, I know
just
you
imagine.
Do.
I mean, again, also, he does care about the guys in that locker
sure.
room. Like, that's an actual fact.
I agree with that.
He does. Whether or not he knows Azaraku's name, he knows his number. He's like, I'm just defending myself here. But he does care about the guys in that locker room, and I imagine that there's a lot of efforts that are more than just, hey, go see somebody and talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, I got to be here for my guys, too.
Look, yeah, and as much as I wanted to talk to him, I could see how it might not be the best look in the world if you're doing the radio show right after one of your players has died. So, no, I understand he's going to be back on schedule with Sean and RJ on Tuesday. We will have Stephen Jones on Monday, and I bet somewhere down the line, you get a bonus Jerry show. How about that?
Look at that.
All right, Alec, overreaction or reality, the rest of the Cowboys season is still going to be dreadfully boring.
I'm going to go reality.
There it is.
I want to be optimistic, and trust me, I'm excited about the moves that they made, but it's too little too late. In my mind, you already lost some of the games that you couldn't afford to lose, in my mind, for my money. And I do think that the defense is still going to be overall mediocre, if not bad. But you have a lot more to look forward to now. So, you know, people always joke as soon as the first loss goes on the board, like, all right, time to start looking at the draft and these college prospects. But now it's like, I'm actually intrigued if they make good use of the picks that they have next year. You know, what could it look like? So I'm like, I'm just looking for little improvements and things that could carry over to next year at this point. So, yes, long story short, boring.
NFL overreaction or reality. Daniel Jones is going to regress into what he's been for most of his career. You look at that last game. He accounted for 5 turnovers, 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles lost. They lost to the Steelers. This might be an early one, but overreaction reality. Daniel Jones is going to regress to where he's been most of his career.
I don't think so. He played a good team that was very well prepared for him.
You think the Steelers are good?
They are in the bottom part of the 3.
Okay.
So where they're like, they could be good. They can beat good teams. They can beat mediocre teams. They can't beat great teams.
I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Dang it! Good point there, Kevin. Looking at their schedule from here on, the Falcons, the Chiefs, Texans defense, Jaguars, they have some tough defenses to play against. Like some really tough defenses to play against down the stretch here. The Niners, the Seahawks, and the Texans again. So he might have some games that he doesn't look as good, but they really do rely mostly on Jonathan Taylor and then for Daniel Jones to make big throws when called upon. But the most work is done by Jonathan Taylor and that running game. I think they'll, as the Colts will continue to do that. But Kevin, when you say regress, Daniel Jones couldn't throw a deep ball.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to be the case for the rest of the season for him.
Alec, overreaction or reality? Daniel Jones going to regress back to what he's been for most of his career.
I'm going to go overreaction as well on this one because I think he's in a lot better situation in terms of people around to help him and help him bounce back from his mistakes. I think he's got a great coaching staff over there that clearly knows what he needs and what he doesn't need. But like you guys talked with Wings head coach Jose Fernandez yesterday, like the different coaching styles, I think he found what works for him and he found a guy that understands him and Shane Steichen. And to Corey's credit, that offense does not revolve around him and it does not need to. So as long as they don't panic as a group and just keep playing the way that they have been and executing, I know that's a word that we love around here, but it's true. They've shown us time and again this season that they can do it. They just need to do it again. So, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think they ask him to do things he can't do.
Okay.
That's the worst thing you can do with a quarterback. Agreed. Is say, do something that you're not capable of doing.
And it's okay to use the word execute, just as long as you don't execute me to death.
Yep. Like they do.
NFL overreaction or reality, Drake London doesn't get enough love. He's on pace for 100 catches, 1,247 yards, 11 touchdowns. Last year, he had 1,271 yards on 100 catches and 9 touchdowns. But I feel like people don't really talk about him a whole lot. So overreaction or reality, Drake London deserves some more love and attention.
He is 10th in yards. Top 10 receiver in yards. And
for a team with an elite running back.
He catches tough footballs. I've seen it a number of times, no matter the quarterback he's playing with, which he has 2 quarterbacks that can't decide if they want to be good or not. But he catches tough footballs, which I really like a lot. Gets a ton of targets, which he deserves. He's the number one receiver on that team. And, you know, with not really a whole bunch of other guys to take away distractions from him, other than Bijan. Like, that's nice that Bijan can do what he can do because it does set up a little bit better for deeper passes. I agree with you, man. I think Drake London's a very talented receiver, and he probably does deserve a little more credit for that. I think it's because, like we talk about with the MVP, their record. Their record at the moment is probably one of the reasons that they're scaled back on the love for Drake London.
Alec, what say you?
I go reality here as well. I've always been intrigued by the idea of what he could look like in an offense that makes sense for him and everybody involved. And it looks like at times when Michael Penix is healthy and when the team is kind of in their normal state, because Raheem Morris is an interesting coach at times in his game planning. But I do think he's one of the more underappreciated guys in the league, just because, like Corey said, the record, but two, he plays in an awful division on top of that, and just playing in a very uninteresting organization right now that, you know, they're years and years removed from a Super Bowl now that, you know, kept them relevant. That run with Matt Ryan kept them relevant ever since then. There's just been no intrigue around the team, and when there is, it's around Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
So I feel like he doesn't get the spotlight just because of multiple factors, and he deserves it because he really is one of the best in football.
Now, this is not overreaction or reality, but TMZ Sports, first on the news here, that in a surprise to, I don't know, nobody, Mark Sanchez got fired by Fox.
Reality.
It is. I mean, it did happen. Mm-hmm. But also what's fascinating is in the rush for getting credit, Yahoo reported it 10 minutes after TMZ and said, per their Andrew Marchand, he got fired. And I'm like, no, per TMZ's report that you saw. And then we're like, oh, man, we need to see if we can figure that out. So, I mean, like, that had to be the way that was going to play out, right?
Well, yeah, they needed to make sure they got all the facts, ma'am.
NFL overreaction or reality? This is going to be shocking to you, I know. Even with Micah, the Packers still can't stop the run in important moments. Now, the key phrase right there is important moments, because going into last week's game, they were still great in terms of overall run stop. They were fourth in the NFL. The year before, just lest you think it's Micah, they were third in the NFL in run stopping. But take a look at what's happened in the key moments. Week three against the Browns, gave up Quinshon Judkins. They gave up 58 yards rushing just in the fourth quarter. Then in week nine, Rico Dowdle, first ever two touchdown game. And you saw it last year. That's the reason they got bounced from the playoffs. That might have been the reason the year before they got bounced from the playoffs against Christian McCaffrey. So it feels like it's true. Overreaction, reality. In the important moments, the Packers still can't stop the run.
It's kind of crazy, too, because they have Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper are in the top 30, I believe, in tackles. Like, they're doing their job.
Oh, yeah.
But this goes back to the season that Josh Dobbs, Bob Dobelina, beat the Cowboys. Go watch that game, and it wasn't Bob Dobelina doing it. It was the run game. They went right at Micah many times, and then whenever they said, hey, we're going to run away from him to tire him out, it did. It did exactly what they wanted to do. Having a couple of really good, talented linebackers on the Packers team is good, but they know they can play around Micah whenever he is hunting for sacks or just go back. You remember the night that he was drafted?
Micah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And Zach Woolchuck and Brad Sham got into a fight about it.
Well, at least that was the last time that ever happened.
The reason Zach didn't like him at linebacker was because he didn't like his linebacker instincts. He said, I think he can rush the passer, but I don't like his instincts at the position.
Yeah.
And he was like, everybody's basing it on this one play they saw in Dallas of him filling a gap and making a tackle. And Zach, like, I remember this specifically. Zach was dead on. If you go back and look at that specifically, Micah never developed as a linebacker, like a tackling linebacker. He's that piece, as I've said multiple times, that you add at the very end. But you do not. You treat him like Von Miller, and you say, "Go get the quarterback." I'm not asking you to do anything else. But that's kind of. But then you look at the immense talent, and you're just like, "Why would I not want him on the field?" It makes a lot of sense. It's tough. It's a tough rock and hard place situation.
Yeah.
Or golden handcuffs. Or it's, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something.
Are you trying?
Golden handcuffs
invent,
is whenever you get paid a lot of money to do a job that's not that great, but you don't like. But you're getting paid a lot of money, so you're like, I got to stick around.
So now, that was not the thing with the video with the president?
What are you talking about?
Alec, sorry. Overreaction or reality.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the important moments, the Packers still can't stop the run.
I'm so concerned about this show today.
Bobby's here, so it's going to get worse.
We haven't even had him on here yet.
He's a terrible influence on me.
Yeah, he's a terrible influence on everybody. I would say reality, because I think that the Green Bay Packers are just front runners in general. Because think about some of their marquee wins in the past two seasons, or even just in the Jordan Love era altogether. It's been when they start off scoring fast and scoring often in the first half. So whenever they get out to good leads, everybody's amped up and everybody's playing well when they're out in front. But whenever they get into a tough matchup like that against a defense that's, you know, keeping that offense at bay just a little bit more than they're used to, a couple more punts and three and outs than they'd like, it feels like they give up the big play because the defense is going out there more often, so on and so forth. It definitely does feel like they kind of give up when it matters the most, which might be par for the course for the guy that they traded for.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't hate that. NFL overreaction or reality? Injuries will keep Puka Nacua from ever being truly great.
Reality.
Like, that's a shame.
He's going to put up awesome, epic numbers every time he's healthy on the field.
Yeah.
But those, I mean, you can only count on him for maybe three quarters or two and a half quarters.
Yeah.
So you never know. And he's going to play through injury. That's another thing, too. Hey, I know I'm hurt, but I need to get out there from a team. I need to do these things. And then he gets hurt even more, and it makes it even worse. So I think you're dead on with that.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say reality and pray that I'm wrong, because I think he's incredibly fun to watch, and he is a true X receiver, a true number one receiver, where you can just say, give me your best route. I don't care how many guys come over the top in coverage. I'm still going to throw you the ball and hope that you come down with it, because he probably will. And he's warranted that kind of respect from defenses too, but he's just got to stay on the field, and he hasn't really done that.
Now, this might be a controversial, I got one more for you. NFL overreaction or reality? Mac Jones deserves a starting job somewhere next season.
I mean, there are lots of starting quarterbacks that don't deserve the job they have right now.
Ooh, do you want to start listening?
Tua.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Kyler. Well, I guess he doesn't have one. I mean, if he's playing well and he's playing at a high level, then some team should definitely take a look at him, much like they did with Sam Darnold, and the Seahawks are benefiting from that right now.
Yeah.
Will they in the playoffs? Probably not. But right now, they definitely are.
Alec, does Mac Jones deserve a starting spot somewhere next year?
Reality, because if Dylan Gabriel is a starting quarterback in the NFL in 2025, Mac Jones can be one. He still can, and he's shown that under the right tutelage, he is just fine. He can maneuver the offense, and he looks good doing it. So, yes, he deserves at least one of those jobs.
Now, Alec, just for you, bonus question, overreaction or reality, you would like Bobby on AM on the FM?
Sure, the more the merrier.
Oh, we'll see. He just said you don't have a choice, Alec. Coming up next, we will do some AM on the FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we would really implore people, keep your rent rates reasonable. Stop jacking up the price so much. Right now, we bring in Bobby Bell at Taco Bueno in Waxahachie off of 287, and he gets to join at the best time, because it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, I teased it yesterday. We're going to get to it today. Why do polygraph tests and baseballs exist in the same sentence? You will hear.
Were you already talking with Bobby about this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he wanted to know. He wanted to get a little bit of a heads up of what's going to happen here. But Bobby actually came up with a question of the day of his own that he wants to know too. So are you going to do that on the show, Bobby, like sometime next week?
Which one? The one I was talking about? I was saying I was going to throw it out to you in the middle of your segment.
Hey, you start it off right now. Let's do
it. Okay, all right. Who at the station would beat a polygraph?
You.
I know. It is not
you're me. You're a sociopath.
It is
you.
Yes. It is not me. No, because I run. Look, my leg is bouncing right now. Isn't that whole thing about like heart rate and different things? Like they would view me as having nervous energy. The answer to this is Gavin Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Gavin Dawson does not have, like, we'll show you zero emotion, no pulse. Like, he has the sniper's pulse.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way it could be RJ? Because he can make himself believe the lies. Plus, the way to beat the lie detector test is to clench your anus.
Is it?
Yeah. What? Did you know that? That's a true story.
That's one way to do it. But
that's clenching of the Venice problem.
Yeah, it's male Kegels. the thing about Choppy though is he recognizes when he's caught in a lie and then just deepens the lie, and it's going to pick that up quick.
Oh, yeah. This is because Choppy will normally talk like he talks like this. He'll do this. When Choppy is starting to lie, he'll go, I don't know about that. You know, how do I know that you didn't know this? You know?
Yeah, the shoulders go up a little bit. Yeah.
I think Peyton might also.
Oh, my God.
He seems like he has some serial killer tendencies.
No, he gets flustered easily, though.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't see that.
Did y'all
see
his picture?
Yes. He looks so mad.
It's terrifying, dude.
Go look on my Twitter for the picture of Peyton Russell looking like
his Twitter is at Anthony Hopkins.
I did think it was funny when Kevin just introduced me. He said, we're joined by Bobby Belt at Taco Bueno. That made it sound like that was my handle on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Belt. Side note, we're at Taco Bueno. All right. That's fair.
Yeah, I think Dawson's the best one, I think so. After
that's a good answer.
Spending all the time we have with him.
Yeah.
How do you think Broadus would fare at that?
He'd get pissed off and pick it up and throw it across the room.
But I think he would just tell the truth, even if it was incriminating. He's like, yeah, no, I punched that guy.
I think the top three at the station would be Dawson, then it's Zach.
Ooh.
And then it would be, I don't know, CA?
Okay,
CA is like, he's just so like calm and like it's just a steady beat. And
he's told these stories.
Yeah.
Those stories, he knows these stories.
So mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the thing, like he's anything sounds believable from him.
And then
he's the Forrest Gump of radio.
And at the end of the polygraph, he'll go, now marinate on that. And you'll be like, oh, I have to, you know?
Would he come up and sit down and go, you know, polygraph's a sport?
No, he'd sit down and he'd be like, you know, one time I was with Diane Ladd. We were taking a polygraph together.
Diane Ladd. God.
I like it. Okay.
All right. Now I actually want Chris to take that polygraph.
Yeah.
Yes.
How that goes. You know what? I think Chris and I are actually in for you and the crew, Bobby, the day after Thanksgiving. Maybe I can find out how to get my hands on a polygraph.
I've said for him, the game he needs to play on the air is he needs to play to tell the truth. He needs to tell three CA stories confidential, and one of them is just a completely made-up BS story, and you have to guess which one.
I like that.
I guarantee you we could find somebody to bring us a polygraph machine.
Okay. Well, day after Thanksgiving, 6 to 10, me and CA, maybe we will have a polygraph.
I love it.
That would be amazing. The real question of the day today, gentlemen, it is National Jersey Day. Sports jerseys. What is your favorite sports jersey of all time? 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube. Want to hear from you as well. Because for me, it's not any of our local jerseys. It's something that I've really fallen in love with this season specifically. The Tampa Bay throwback creamsicle jerseys. I think those are one of my favorites of all time, if not my number one seed.
You know what I've really grown fond of is the Clark Griswold Chicago Blackhawks hockey jersey. I think that's
Chicago
really cool.
What?
Shut up.
Okay. So you said I could take this anywhere I wanted, Alec. Yeah. So this is not one I own. This is not my favorite jersey of all time in terms of design. My favorite jersey that, like, knowing it exists out there somewhere is a Mike Piazza Marlins jersey.
Really?
I love it. The fact that he was traded to the Marlins and was there for about 2 minutes, played a couple games, and somebody out there owns his jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
And I like knowing that exists. Similarly to, like, an Antoine Walker, like, Hawks jersey or something.
Okay.
One of those. Or maybe just, like, a Hakeem Olajuwon Raptors jersey.
Ew. Yeah, ew. Do you remember what Mike called Antoine Walker?
Fat ass, probably,
no,
or something like
I mean,
that.
Kind of. He called him the booby shaker.
That's exactly. Yeah, that sounds like
so,
that.
Yeah, no, you're – I get you.
What was the trash bag jersey the Mavs had?
Ooh, the City Connect?
Oh, terrifying.
The one, yeah, that was the one time we're against the Lakers.
Yeah.
That was the Antoine Walker debut.
They were shiny.
I remember Chuck Cooperstein saying when they started sweating, it looked like wet aluminum foil.
Yeah, those were ugly. I was just pointing out that those existed
terrible.
In time. I really do like last night's uniforms that the Broncos wore. Those are classic. I love that look. And that includes the helmet to go along with it, but that orange crush and then that helmet, that's perfect for me. I like it a lot. But Oregon, dude, you know what? It's Mississippi State. Mississippi or Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the classic blue jersey with the two white stripes on the shoulder.
Yep.
Like that is an awesome looking jersey. Every time Adrian sees it on TV, she's like, I love those uniforms. And they look good. My son, he thinks that the logo for Ole Miss looks like a Chick-fil-A logo. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Ooh.
But then I was looking at letters and I was like, he might be right.
See, I think now I want an old school Anaheim Mighty Ducks jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that jersey was pretty sweet.
A Gordon Bombay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those are sweet. I like them.
I do.
Dude,
love
and the new like SMU jersey with Dallas right there at the
If we're just talking design, those Houston Cougars football jerseys that the Titans made them stop wearing because they looked too close to Oilers jerseys, those were beautiful.
Yeah.
They were from the 817 Dez Bryant Saints jersey. Yeah, that's a
good one.
That is a wild pull. That is my favorite thing to do, like when people watching at a sports event, is just find the most obscure jersey in the crowd.
That Olajuwon Raptors one would be pretty high on my list.
Every
that
would
be time. Awesome.
I like when we're on the road for Cowboys games, I always just scan the crowd and take photos of the most absurd jerseys. Like, why are you wearing that while you're here? Like, because there are a lot of them. Where somebody showed up in a Mark Brunell 97 Jaguars jersey to the Cowboys and Jets game.
What?
Huh. I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why.
Let's see. Huh.
I have a question.
That's very much a Go Sports sign.
The NAHL has the El Paso Rhinos, and the Rhino logo is pretty dope. The jersey's pretty sweet. Have you ever seen a rhino in El Paso? Is that where they are native to?
I have one on my
arm. That doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
The rhino, which is native to El Paso.
Travels.
That doesn't feel right.
In and out of the New Mexico border.
You know how Pablo Escobar had the hippopotamuses that he like bred or whatever?
Remember that.
No, Corey knows it.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about. Yeah.
Maybe it's like similar like that. Like there's just cartel rhinos out there.
It's not natural. Just created, you know, man-made.
So do you think they're like
cartel rhinos?
Their building or their mansion is being guarded by the rhinos?
That's why he had hippos. He liked the animal, and now that he's been cleared out of there, they just
are overrun. And hippos are what?
Fine.
The deadliest animal on the planet.
Fine. Let's go down this line of thinking. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you rename your minor league team the El Paso Cocaine Rhinos? You would sell so much merchandise.
And the horns, just this white powder.
And this the hippos, like, really
is it like a Chime sponsorship on a jersey where the cartel's like, hey, this is our new product we're moving.
Put that
on the jersey.
Oh, cocaine rhinos. I see why Kevin's a big proponent.
877-881-1053,
your favorite jersey for National Jersey Day. I'm seeing a lot of people, which I'm kind of surprised after the initial backlash, a lot of people saying the Rangers City Connect jerseys, which I agree. I was a fan of the Peagle. I was. But from the 972, I actually know someone who has a Cowboys Tony Banks jersey.
That's a good one.
We used to love talking to Tony Banks, but we couldn't book other people.
Dude, Tony Banks was great. He was like, here's my number. I'll come on anytime. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Dude, somebody said the Vlad Sr. Expos jersey. The Expos had some of the coolest jerseys of all time. Like the pinstripe one with Expos across the front, and then the baby powder blue one that had the logo right there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There on the chest, like, ooh, that was awesome.
I don't think I would. I would like a Houston Oilers Warren Moon jersey that's kind of that light blue as well. I like that.
Then from the 214, one of my favorite mascots ever, the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Heck yeah, those are awesome.
So good.
Those are awesome.
What's the one, the oysters, that looks like?
All right.
You know what I'm talking
about? It's a glove. It's a mitt. It's a cat.
I know what you mean.
What about the what about the Hornet City Edition jerseys?
Oh, yeah, the CLT. Yeah.
What does that mean?
They're tough to find.
Charlotte. All right. Charlotte.
Some say they don't exist.
That's the name of the airport, Bobby.
Yeah, I know. That's why
somebody did that on purpose.
Aren't you glad it's not an international airport then?
Why? I'm missing the reference.
Charlotte International.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you now.
That took way too long for you.
I got it.
You.
I was thinking literally like international, like they were in another country, and okay. I was confused.
Come on, Bob.
That took way too long for somebody like you, Bobby. Let's see, guys. Polygraph tests and baseballs. Why do they exist in the same sentence together? Well, you guys might remember in Game 4 of the NLCS this past postseason, Shohei Ohtani had perhaps the greatest single-game performance in MLB history, maybe even sports history, where he ended up hitting 3 home runs after throwing a gem of a game on the mound as well through 6 innings. No runs, 2 hits. The second of those home runs went so far that they put a plaque in center field in the concourse to commemorate it because this ball was hit out of the ballpark. Like, StatCast could not keep track of the baseball. They don't know where it actually landed. So this was supposedly caught by Dodgers fan Carlo Mendoza while he was eating some nachos in the stands in center field, and he caught the piece of history. He had to make a move for it where he said he scraped up his leg real bad, but he came down with the baseball, and he ended up putting this up for auction at SCP Auctions with a starting bid of $200,000. But getting it to the auction house was not easy. Since the baseball flew so far, MLB's official on-site authenticators were unable to see where it landed, let alone who actually came up with it. So he had the ball stamped by Dodger Stadium staff with the October 17th date on it. He also immediately took some pictures of himself with the baseball, but SCP said that is not enough. So they also had him write a notarized affidavit and undergo a polygraph test. He passed the test, and now the ball was accepted and posted for auction.
Do you get a copy of that when you buy it? And you're like, here's the guy's polygraph tests that says.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, like, cool. like an authentication thing? Yeah, you would think so. So he hit the ball so far, it just flew. Did it travel too fast or travel too far for them?
Too far,
yeah, because they couldn't see where it landed. Yeah.
So then Carlo Mendoza caught it, so you know what that would make the StatCast line where the ball travels too far.
Hey, the Mendoza line.
The Mendoza line.
Look
you like
at
that?
You. And if you go to SCP Auctions.
That was for you, Hagee.
Thank you.
If you go to scpauctions.com and go look at the listing, they do have screenshots of the notarized affidavit that Mendoza signed, and you can read it.
It's amazing.
So, and pictures of him holding the baseball at Dodger Stadium, too. So, starting bid, $200,000. Nobody has bid yet. 15 days and 9 hours left to go.
Dude, you do not have
$200,000. But we do have Peace-a-thon coming up. We
you can't divert funds. Yeah, next year's Peace-a-thon is going to be one auction item. That's Shohei Ball. We really hope it went up in value, because if it didn't.
Corey just trying to go full Brett Favre and divert funds.
God, yeah, man.
Man, I didn't even lay my plan out. How'd y'all know
it? I know, he's going to start building arenas for Lucy and stuff like that. All right, Bobby, can you stay around?
You sure, got stuff I can hang around.
All right, Bobby's going to stick around. How about coming up next, we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Second and goal. Blitz coming. Hurts. Barkley wide open. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Taco Bueno in Waxahachie, 1080 West Highway 287. It has been packed all day, and I have some shout-outs. And
they love us in Waxahachie.
They do. And
we love us in Waxahachie.
I hope these people getting their shout-outs appreciate their friends and family for getting this stuff done and picking up Tolo stickers for them. I need to shout-out Jason. Is it Jason Reeves? Okay, and then also Chris Smith from Ivy Photography. You got people out here doing stuff for you
Look
today.
That
is delightful. And we've got Bobby Belt hanging out with us as we go around the entire NFL, powered by Men's Tea Clinic, and dip in to some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
And let's start, Bobby, with I wanted to get all of y'all's thoughts on this. Division winners at the midway point. We can run through each division, and I want to see if you're locked in on who is going to win the division or not. AFC East, who is your division winner?
The New England Patriots. That's going to be that'll be a minimum 13-win team.
You know, I'm going to go with Buffalo. But, man, the Patriots are playing very good ball, and Drake May is playing exceptionally.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Drake May is the MVP right now.
You think so?
Yep.
Is Stafford in? Where's Stafford?
It's Stafford and May, 1-2.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. All right. Let's go to the AFC North. Who is your winner in the AFC North, the division that nobody wants to win?
You know, NFL.com yesterday – they had, 17 panelists pick their Super Bowl at the midway point.
Yes.
Six people picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl.
Kevin's been on that for, the last 3 weeks.
Corey was infuriated.
I'm so tired of it.
I'm going to hesitantly say Pittsburgh wins it.
Oh, okay.
Very hesitantly.
Corey?
I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh, too. I don't know if y'all been watching Aaron Rodgers and his power position every time they do the quarterback sneak without the quarterback. But he's really got a hold of that team right now.
The AFC South, this might be the easiest one of the group.
Titans.
But maybe not.
Tighten up.
What? No.
They might be eliminated already. I'm not sure.
Technically, they are not, but it's shockingly close.
They have a minus 127 point differential. That's miserable.
Remember what Cam Ward said. When he figures it out, the NFL's in trouble.
Bobby, it's definitely the Colts.
It is the Colts. I'm really disappointed. The last 2 years in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely.
That looked like a team that was coming together and was going to be a strong contender for a few years, and they've been very disappointing.
Now, this is the one for me, the AFC West. I know the Broncos won again yesterday. They looked awful. They have won seven. Their offense, their defense is amazing.
Yeah.
They've won seven straight games. They've trailed in all seven of those games. Who wins the AFC West?
Man, I don't feel good about any of them.
I'm going Denver. I think that they are in a position now that Sean Payton knows how to motivate them enough to not let anybody catch up to them. He's going to have them prepared each week because he knows that division has two other teams that were chasing hard.
I'll say Denver, and who knows? Because as it stands now, the Kansas City Chiefs are out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
by today's
don't think that's going to hold.
Maybe not. Maybe, though. I mean, they've lost some games that they shouldn't. They lost to Jacksonville. They've not been the same team. But, no, I'll say Denver, Kansas City, Chargers is the finish there.
Is the streak finally over? Who is winning the NFC East?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Philadelphia's back-to-back in this, dude.
First time in, 21 years?
Yeah.
Back-to-back division?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but there's no team in the NFC East good enough to chase
them. Since the first Bush administration.
God, that's so weird. All right. NFC North. There's two of these divisions are significantly trickier. Who wins the NFC North?
There is a reasonable case that any of the not totally reasonable. It's not impossible that all four of them could do it.
With Minnesota being the least.
I'll go Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm going Detroit. I think Detroit wraps that thing up by the end of the season.
Okay. NFC South.
Why are the Bears playing in like 5-3 standing though? Like that's something I don't get.
Because they have.
Are they good?
No.
I mean, they have a negative point differential. I'm inclined to agree with you on that. But they're moving in a direction where I can see if you're a Bears fan, you're like, okay,
you're positive about what they're building. Yeah. But I mean, they slipped by against the Raiders with the last second score and slipped by against Washington with the last second. So, I mean, they've not only is it a negative point differential, but they should have lost two other games that they won.
Yes. You think they could? Oh, yeah. You picked the Lions.
I picked the Lions already, Kevin.
NFC South. Who wins the NFC South?
What's Tampa's record right now?
6-2. What's Carolina's?
5-3 or 5-4?
5-4. Don't sleep on those Carolina Panthers.
I'm rolling Carolina out there.
Oh, that would be amazing. Dave Canales would have to win Coach of the Year then, right?
Man, Steichen would be up there.
Injuries for Tampa are starting to concern me.
So when you talk about they've trailed in the last seven games, the Broncos have.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers, I think their first four games they won the season, they were trailing at the one-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Correct.
Which is insane.
First team in NFL history to win those.
I'm going to say it is, as I look at Carolina's schedule, I'm going to say Carolina.
Woo!
I'm going to just put it out.
Baby!
Nobody. Dude, the odds on that must have been a billion and one
and
to start the season.
They have both their games still against Carolina to play. Or against Tampa Bay to play.
I hear you on Steichen, and I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I just, if Carolina won their division, like even at 10-7, I feel like he's got to get
it. He's but definitely up there. He's up there.
What happened to Kellen Moore's team?
I mean, they were the projected number one pick the whole time, and they're not even getting that, so it sounds like improvement.
They're living up to the hype.
They won their game.
This is another really tough one. NFC West. Who wins the NFC West?
I don't know exactly how the schedule lays out for the rest of the season, but I'm going to go with the Rams.
I am also going to go with the Rams because I just the Seahawks defense is incredible. The Rams defense is really, really good too, and I don't trust that Darnold is going to match Stafford the rest of the way.
You know, Seattle's 2-2 at home and 4-0 on the road.
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That feels
like,
weird.
Yeah, the Rams are 3-1, 3-1, and you know, was one of those games overseas. So I don't know if that was a true home game or not.
But
being 2-2 at home and 4-0 on the road, like that's an interesting standing there because what do they have to lean on whenever they get back home?
The Rams up until what was it last week? Who did they beat last week? They had finally beaten – they beat New Orleans before that. So they got all the way up to November as a 5-2 football team without beating the NFC.
Right. Wow.
They were 5-0 against the AFC.
So let's go from that to
– the AFC's better, right?
To Roma Dunze, who had to speak on behalf of thoughts of his dad. His dad reposted a message on social media – that said, I hope he gets traded to a team that will actually throw him the ball, and he should be seeing at least 10 targets a game, which forced Rome to come out yesterday and say, I don't make a big deal out of it. Obviously, he has his opinions, and I have mine, but he speaks for himself, and I speak for myself. I hear him, and he's right, but that seems like a giant annoyance to have to be like, well, your dad said this. What do you think? And you're like, I don't agree with
that. What he should have said is, hey, I'm still developing. Remember, guys, Rome wasn't built in a day. Come on, Hagee, you like it.
Did you hear that?
I will say
that was the sound of nobody laughing in here.
It was just for you. Okay. I will say this. The receiver dad factor has become increasingly like
Marvin Harrison. Yeah,
like Marvin Harrison, Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad, the Roma Dunze one. There was somebody else who was involved that I'm forgetting, but it's become like the LeVar Ball position.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Rome, if you want to, right?
Here we go.
This is a big room around the world.
I see what you're putting down, and I like it.
Alec, if I come back to the studio, can you teach me the board?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, you're going to have to roam and find your way back up there.
Son of a bitch. Whoops. A.J. Brown is expected to play.
Hey, I had thoughts on that.
No. Do you really?
No.
Okay.
A.J. Brown had a talkative dad.
Oh, man. He would post all sorts of things from that book. Highlighted just paragraphs of how his son's not being used.
You guys done?
Yep.
You good?
Yep.
A.J. Brown is expected to play on Monday, and then Sauce Gardner did clear concussion protocol, so he's expected to make his Colts debut against the Falcons. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL executives voted who is on track to win all the awards across the NFL. We'll do that, and probably some tributes that have come out from Marshawn Nealon. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.